Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ali ghadati azim sifati sami simati kabir al-sha'n jalil al-qadir rafi' al-dhikr muta' al-amji jali al-burhan fakhim al-ismi ghazil ilmi wasil hilmi kathir al-ghufran jamil al-thana'i jazil al-ata'i mujib al-du'a'i amim al-ihsan sari al-hisab shadid al-iqab alim al-azab aziz al-sultan wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا الله سبحانه وتعالى in the Quran provides for us not just simply instruction but Allah سبحانه وتعالى provides for us very practical demonstrations of exactly what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands and asks of us. One of the great mercies of our deen and our beautiful religion is that every single thing that we have been asked to do and the entire code that we have been demanded and requested to live by has been practically demonstrated and laid out for us. To display the practicality and the pragmatism that exists within the code of religion that we have. One of the very fascinating examples of this practical demonstration of the religion, something that inshallah we intend to explore as we continue the programs this weekend, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a very fascinating word, a construction, a phrase. And that phrase is present within Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That without a doubt, there is no doubt, not a shred of a doubt, about the fact that there exists completely contained within the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his lifestyle, in his personality, in his interactions, in his engagement with people and humanity, in his relationship with his Lord and Master, completely contained within the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there exists for you, reserved specifically for you, dedicated, meant for you. And this is very profound, that this is not coincidental. Allah is not randomly pointing to, well, that's a good example, go ahead and look at that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, no, no. The Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was specifically crafted by Allah, designed by Allah, placed by Allah. And everything that transpired in his life was part of the divine design and the divine plan so that it would be documented, it would be codified, it would be transmitted, talked about and shared for over a millennia. And then people would continue to be able to go back to it and take inspiration and direction from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the phrase uswatun hasana, which can be translated in a number of different ways. My own personal understanding, I wouldn't quite call it a translation, but the way that I choose to understand and explain it to people when I talk to them is uswatun hasana is, it can be understood as the ultimate role model. Uswa is like a precedent or an example. that exists before you, something you can reference back to. Hasana, of course, refers to the beauty and the excellence and the depth of something. So it is an example. It is a precedent that is fascinating. It is beautiful. It is remarkable. It is deep and it is profound. And that's why I say the ultimate role model. And similarly, what's very interesting and fascinating is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself on multiple occasions would reference himself as Da'watu Abi Ibrahim, that I am the prayer of my forefather Abraham. And many on many occasions, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would engage in a particular action or deed or conduct or behavior or character or mannerism, he would reference it or he would explain it, qualified by saying, Sunnatu Abikum Ibrahim. That this is a tradition as established by your forefather, your spiritual forefather Abraham. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, when addressing this ummah, when talking to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ, strive within the deen of Allah, strive to please your creator in a way that is appropriate and befitting of the magnificence of that creator. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ. He selected and chose you. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He did not place undue or illegitimate or unresponsible harm upon you. But the religion is very appropriate and very sensitive and considerate of your circumstances and your situation. There's no undue harm or obligation placed upon anyone within this religion. مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمْ. That this is the legacy of your forefather Abraham. And this is precisely why that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows this lofty title, this very, very praiseworthy characteristic of being the ultimate role model, aside from our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only other person that is granted to within the Quran is Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's granted to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he is also referred to as this Uswa Hasana. Now the reason why I bring that up, of course, we have an entire program that will talk and explore more about the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how it manifests within the tradition of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam and what we can extrapolate and take from it and carry it on further within our own lives. But the reason why I bring it up right now, there was one specific dynamic and element of that legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam as continued by our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as I will present an example of. And that is that our deen, our religion, and our approach to our religion, spirituality, and the implementation of our religion is one that is not just purely up to the whims and the fancies of our own intellect. It is an intelligent religion, but at the same time, it is not left up to us that whatever makes sense to us and whatever doesn't make sense to us, that will somehow alter the course of the religion itself. No, it's not completely left up to that. At the same time, the religion is not one that is subject to the whims and to the ups and downs and to the instability of our own emotional conditions. That depending on how we're feeling is exactly what will be the structure of the religion and what will be the religion going forward. It is not completely and solely dictated by maybe what's going on in society at a large scale, or what is going on in a particular community at that time. But one of the most fascinating and beautiful aspects of our religion, and something specifically that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points to in the Quran, Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. Part of the meaning of Mustaqim is the consistency. The consistency of our deen and religion. And that is how it has stood the test of time and made it through 1400 years of the most diverse circumstances that anyone could have imagined. That consistency. What gives our deen and our religion that consistency? It is the fact that it is a deen and it is a religion of principles. And the Muslim, huwa sammakumul muslimin, he named you Muslims. A Muslim is a person of principle. We are people of principles. Our book is a book of principles, the Quran. Our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a messenger, a man of principle. Our entire religion is one that is built on principles. And at the foremost of these principles, one that I feel needs to be emphasized, and many might be aware of this, but it is something that we need to be reminded of, and we need to be shown the relevance of. In different situations in our life, one of the primary principles that our religion is predicated upon, that is built upon, is the principle of mercy. The principle of mercy. And I wanted to present one example, one scenario, as mentioned within the Quran, from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that demonstrates the fact that when you conduct yourself by principle, there are times when those principles will point out the flaws in your logic and reasoning. There are times when those principles will point out the short-sightedness of your emotions in that moment. But the principles are tried, true, and tested, divinely inspired and instituted. And those principles will never let you waver in fault. And so I wanted to share this particular example from the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it's very beautiful and fascinating that in this place, in Surah number 19, Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayah number 41, He specifically says, "Wadhkur fil kitabi Ibrahim." That remember, as mentioned in the Quran, the example of Ibrahim. And Allah is telling us, remember this, udhkur, like revisit this. Repeat this, reflect on this, ponder upon this, because this will demonstrate how principles, you know, guide you in even the most difficult and adverse of circumstances. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about? He tells us about one of the most gut-wrenching and one of the most difficult interactions anyone could ever have. That Ibrahim alayhi salam was in the very, very difficult, unimaginable position. And many brothers and sisters might have dealt with similar circumstances and scenarios here, and my heart goes out to them. I can't even imagine how difficult this must have been. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ, he has to talk to his father. This is his father. This is the man who raised him. This is the man who provided for him. There's a deep sentimental and emotional attachment to this man. A lot of times when we talk about somebody else, we talk about it in the third person and we're talking about it almost distantly, and we can become a bit emotionally disconnected from it. When we talk about, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a terrible individual like Abu Lahab who tormented the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we say, yeah, he was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we just move right along as if, well, you know, sometimes people listen, sometimes they don't. So there are good people and there are bad people. What are you going to do about it? No. You really factor it in. What must it have been like for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? In the absence of a father, the paternal uncle, your father's brother, is oftentimes a father figure. Or at least that's the expectation. Your cha-cha, your uncle, he is supposed to fill in for your father. He's supposed to look out for you and take care of you, like Abu Talib did for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When that person betrays you, when that person turns on you, can you imagine the profound sense of hurt and disappointment someone must feel? We have to humanize these situations. So can you imagine Ibrahim alayhi salam carrying the truth of all truths within his heart, having gone through every single intellectual, observational, emotional, spiritual exercise available to him, and it kept leading him back to the same conclusion: only Allah is worthy of worship. وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. It kept leading him back there. So at that moment, he's sitting there and he's having to deal with the fact that one of the most important people in his life, somebody he can't imagine his life without, his father. And for a moment, even if it be for a few seconds, think about somebody like that in your own life. Just reflect on it. We need to learn to be a little bit more introspective and think about it. If I think about my own father, And if he didn't understand who I was and what I believe, who would I talk to? What would I do? Ibrahim alayhi salam is dealing with this crisis. And so he finally sits down with a very heavy heart with his father, and he talks to him, converses with him, engages with him. He says, Ya Abati, right? Which I won't get into technical details too much because this isn't the setting for that. It's not a tafsir class. But Ya Abati, suffice to say that it is more than just saying father or dad. It's more than saying, hey dad. It has a very strong emotional tone to it. Ya Abati. Father, you know, we formally translate as dear beloved father. But think about a young person almost saying, dad, please. Daddy, please. Abu, Baba, please. Listen, I need to talk to you. Ya Abati. And he goes on to say to his father with this heavy heart, he says, لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. You were so devoted and dedicated to these idols. Why? And what's very interesting is it's not a rhetorical question he's posing, but he's actually conversing. He's like, can we please just talk? Can we be honest with each other? I want to understand where you're coming from. Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you worship something that cannot listen, cannot see, cannot help in the least bit? Ya Abati, Daddy, please, repeats himself. And that repetition is indicative of the fact that that's what he's emphasizing. You are my dad. He keeps reaffirming his love for his father. Inni qad ja'ani min al-'ilm. He speaks with such humility. He says, some knowledge came to me. He didn't say, I know what I'm talking about. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lam. I know what you don't know. Indi ilmun, right? I have knowledge. Inni qad ja'ani min al-'ilm, min lit-tab'id. A little bit of knowledge, that understanding that has come to me. Ma lam ya'tika, that maybe hasn't come to you yet. Like you haven't understood this yet. But I have this understanding that you don't have. Fattabi'ni. So please listen to me. Ahdika siratan sawiya. I'll explain to you what is the right way to go about this. Ya Abati. Father, please. I love you. La ta'bud ash-shaytan. Don't succumb to the shaytan. Inna ash-shaytan kana lir-rahmani 'asiya. Because shaitan is very disobedient and defiant against the most merciful creator. Ya Abati, Father, please, I love you so much. Inni akhafu an yamassaka 'adhabun min ar-Rahman. I'm afraid that even a little bit of harm would come to you, or some punishment would come to you from the most merciful. Fatakuna lishaytani waliya, and you end up on the wrong side, you end up on shaitan's side. So he's speaking to him so honestly, with such, you know, repeated affirmations of his love for his father, with such humility and such clarity, choosing his words so carefully. Now let's think about this. The emotion is on the side of Ibrahim. He's spoken very respectfully and lovingly. The logic is on the side of Ibrahim. How does the father respond? And I want you to, again, already start kind of processing and thinking about, if we found ourselves in a similar situation where logic and the emotional components was all on our side, the emotional element, the logic, the intellectual element, everything was on our side, and we were conversing with a beloved family member, particularly a parent or an elder, and they responded in the way that Ibrahim's father is about to respond to him, how would we react? How would we lash out? What would be our response? The father says, أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. All I hear, you don't like my gods? You don't like my idols? None of the the actual ideas and the thoughts that Ibrahim alayhi salam presented. None of them. Araghibun anta an alihati ya Ibrahim? You don't like my idols? Is that it? Is that what it boils down to? He says, la illam tantahi. I'm going to tell you once. If you don't stop, la arjumannaka. I will beat you. I will stone you publicly in the streets. Wahjurni maliyan. Get away from me. Wahjurni means leave me. And it's not even like utrukni or da'ni, which can refer to maybe for now. Give me a minute. Don't talk to me for a while. I don't want to talk to you for the rest of the day. No, no. Wahjurni hijra comes from this word. Leave. It is quite literally the word for pack your bags and go. And then he adds on top of that, maliyan. Maliyan means very, very far away. And it's both dharf makan wa dharf zaman. That it means not only just for a very long time, but also very far away. For a long time and far away. Basically, it's a way of saying you and I are done. You are dead to me. I disown you. Get your stuff and get out. I don't want to see you ever again. Now think about that being the response from somebody who's supposed to and has up until this point cared for you, loved you, taken care of you. And you expected this person at the very least to be understanding, to talk to you. And this is the response that you get. They're disowning you. Think about how defiant and defensive the response would be from one of us. Fine, right? Think about the things people would say. Go ahead. You're wrong, I'm right, and so on and so forth. And many, many worse things. How does Ibrahim alayhi salam respond? Because he knows that there is a code and there are a set of principles that I have to conduct myself by, no matter what the situation is. And the primary and the first and foremost of those principles is the principle and the concept of mercy. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Salamun alayk. Which is not just simply saying peace out. He's not just saying salam like I'm out the door. It's also saying, Salamun alayk. I have no ill will towards you. I have no hatred towards you. I will not hurt you. Forget about physically, I will not hurt you, even verbally. Nothing. No harm will come to you from me. Salamun alayk. And he goes on to say, Sa'astaghfiru laka Rabbi, I will seek permission from my Lord to be able to ask forgiveness from you. This is a technical issue that comes up again later in the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ provided clarification for us. وَمَا كَانَ إِسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَمْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوُّ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُ. That's a technical matter that I'll leave that you are. Of course, I welcome you to explore it and to come and talk to your sheikh and your local scholar and imam about it, inshallah, to understand it in detail. But nevertheless, at that moment, he says, I will even pray to my Lord for you. And he says, Innahu kana bi hafiya. And Father, I know you're angry right now. SubhanAllah, so beautiful. He says, I know you're angry right now. And I know that you're just venting and you're just yelling at me right now. But deep down inside, somewhere, my Father is there. And you do care about me. And maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year from now. Once I am out that door, you will look back and maybe you will feel bad. And you'll worry about me. I wonder what happened to him. I wonder if he's okay. Just know this for a fact, Innahu kana bi Hafiya, Allah has always taken care of me and Allah will always continue to take care of me. Don't worry about me, I'll be okay. وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ. And I would, on top of that, some people would even defiantly respond that, who are you to tell me what to do? You can't tell me to leave. This is my house too. These are my people or my family too. He says, وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ. But right now at the moment, if what you want me to do is leave and leave you alone because I have, you know, caused you some type of distress, I will leave you. I will go. وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And especially I want to leave these things that you worship other than Allah. وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي But I will continue to make dua to Allah. عَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا Because Allah will never disappoint me. Allah will never disappoint me. فَلَمَّا اَعْتَزَلَهُمْ And when he left, وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ And he left those things behind that they used to worship other than Allah. وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَكُلًّا جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا Allah says that we did not leave Ibrahim on his own. It's not like he was some lonely, you know, traveler or vagabond. But Allah says we granted him a family and we granted him beautiful children and we made prophets out of his sons as well. But what I wanted to demonstrate here is that principle of mercy. Ibrahim alayhi salam spoke the truth. He said what needed to be said. And he stood his ground. And he was confident. And he did what he needed to do. But when you observe and you compare what he is saying to his father versus how his father is responding to him, you see how merciful Ibrahim is. Because no matter how divisive the situation becomes, and no matter how serious of an issue we're talking about, we can never abandon the principle of mercy. And now how do we translate this? How do we see this principle of mercy carry over in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then how can we further implement it and realize it? Many will be able to take great inspiration from this passage of Surah number 19. For everyone's benefit, if this is something you should go back and read later for yourself. This is ayahs number 41 through 49. So some will be able to take inspiration from that, but on a more general level, I wanted to share a profound example of that same principle of mercy playing out in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a very beautiful story that is narrated within many of the books of hadith, and particularly in the books of seerah. It's mentioned by Ibn Ishaq and Ibn Hisham, Ibn Kathir, and many other scholars in their texts. It is known popularly as the story of Fudala ibn Umayr al-Laythi. Fudala ibn Umayr. Kayfa aslama Fudala ibn Umayr? How did Fudala ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu accept Islam? How did he become a Muslim? So the narration tells us that when the Prophet ﷺ came for the conquest of Mecca, and Mecca again submitted, and many of the people in Mecca believed, accepted Islam, and the deen of Allah was established there in Mecca, it had been a couple of days since the day of the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims' entrance into Mecca. They were worshipping at the Kaaba, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing tawaf. Some of the leaders or the individuals within the Meccan community who had not completely dealt with the reality that now Mecca has accepted Islam, but they were still kind of holding out, but they were laying low. They were kind of sitting and talking, a couple of these people still venting, and they're very frustrated. Fudala, this man, he comes to them and he says that, would you like for me to take care of this issue for you? I can solve this problem. They said, sure. So he said that I'm good at kind of blending into the crowd. I'm very good at wielding a knife, right? I'm very quick. So let me take care of this. They said, go ahead. So he waits and he finds the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing tawaf. He's worshiping. He's circling the Kaaba as a form of worship. He finds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing tawaf. He says that he kind of joined in. You know, usually there's a group of people moving around. So he kind of blended into the group. He joined into the circle. And as the people kept moving around, he slowly kept kind of inching his way closer to the actual Kaaba, where the Prophet ﷺ was, on the innermost part of the circle. He kept inching closer and closer, very casually, you know, very smoothly, so nobody would notice any abrupt movements. And he got to the point where he was right next to the Prophet ﷺ. And he said, I had a knife, I had a dagger, stashed inside of my clothing, my shirt. And he said he was very quick about like getting it out, stabbing, and then tucking it back in. So he says that when I got close to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where I was right next to him, and I was just kind of bracing myself for the perfect time and the perfect swift movement to be able to take him out. He says the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to me, "Mada kunta?" The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rather, he says to me, "Afudala? Is your name Fudala?" And he said, I was a bit taken aback. Why is he speaking to me? How does he know who I am? And I said, "Na'am, Fudala ya Rasulullah." I said, "Yes, I'm Fudala, O Messenger of God," kind of keeping up my cover. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then says, "Mada kuntu tuhadithu bihi nafsak?" What were you thinking about doing, Fudala? Why'd you come here? Why are you standing next to me? What are you thinking about doing? And he said, "La shay." Nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. "Adhkurullah." I'm here worshiping God. I don't know what you're talking about. And he says that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled at me. He chuckled, he smiled. And then he says the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to me, "Istaghfirillah. Ask Allah for forgiveness." ثُمَّ وَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ فَسَكَنَ قَلْبَهُ. And he said that he turned to me. He said, "Ask Allah for forgiveness." And he reached out and he placed his hand on my chest. And he said, "Ask Allah for forgiveness." It's like putting your arm around someone. This is an assassin. Ask Allah for forgiveness. It's okay. It's okay. Talk to Allah. And Fudala says that, "فَوَاللَّهِ مَا رَفَعَ يَدَهُ عَنْ صَدْرِي حَتَّى مَا مِنْ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْهُ." He says, by the time the Prophet ﷺ had lifted his hand off my chest, there was nothing in this world that was more beloved to me than this man, Muhammad ﷺ. He says that when I left the Kaaba, when I left the Haram, on my way, he says that I passed by a place where back in the old days, I used to go and commit sins over there. Right? There was a place where I used to go, a particular residence where I used to go and commit a sin there. I used to commit zina, fornication. He says, I was still just reeling and internalizing what had just transpired. And one of the individuals, one of the women that I used to, you know, commit this sin with, she saw me passing by, and so she asked me that, "Are you free? Do you have any plans?" And he says that I said no. And he said that as he was walking away, he recited the following couplets, a few lines of poetry. He said, "قالت هلم إلي الحديث فقلت لا يأبى عليك الله والإسلام لو ما رأيت محمدا وقبيله بالفتح يوم تكسر الأصنام لرأيت دين الله أضحى بيننا وَالشِّرْكُ يَخْشَى وَجْهَهُ الْإِظْلَامِ." He says that she calls me and asks me to come and commit a sin. And I said, "No, God and Islam will no longer allow me to do so. If I had not seen Muhammad and his people on the day of the conquest on which the idols were broken, then maybe I would have come to you. But now I have seen the beautiful religion of God clear as day. And the times of darkness and shirk are long gone." This is the power of living by principle. This is the effectiveness when we conduct ourselves with principle. And the primary and the first of those principles, as I've reiterated many times today, is mercy. when we conduct ourselves. We talk about being merciful to others. The greatest mercy we do to anyone, when we conduct ourselves by these principles, is we are merciful upon ourselves. The greatest favor that we are doing is to ourselves. And others are also able to benefit from this. This is the life, the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is the millah of our spiritual forefather Abraham. And this is the tradition and the sunnah of our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Live with principles. And the primary of those principles is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد الحمد لله. If I may just share just a few personal comments with all the brothers and sisters here today. Alhamdulillah, it's always a blessing whenever I have the opportunity and the privilege of visiting your community here in Boston. And so alhamdulillah, was very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to come and visit again and benefit from all the wonderful folks here. And whenever we come, you know, we always try to, at the behest of, you know, the ISBCC, the administration, the leadership, the imam, we always try to conduct some type of program that hopefully can be of benefit to a diverse group of people here in the community, young and old, men and women, everybody of all backgrounds. But this particular time, alhamdulillah, I'm here under a very special, you know, circumstance. I'm here for a very special reason. And that is, alhamdulillah, over the years, many, many years, through Bayina and Qalam, you know, we've been coming here to this entire area for a very long time, really enjoyed our visits and different opportunities. Different individuals from, you know, our institutions have come and interacted with the community here, and we've benefited probably more than y'all have. But alhamdulillah, like I said before, at, you know, the request of the ISBCC and you know, the vision of the leadership here at the ISBCC, they insisted that, you know, we needed to bring the entire team and really conduct a very thorough program that will have a diversity of thoughts and a diverse, you know, background and understanding, and hopefully from that comes a very rich dialogue that allows all of us to grow, inshallah, through this experience. So alhamdulillah, I'm personally here this weekend, but along with the entire team from Dallas, from Qalam Institute, alhamdulillah, our other instructors such as Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy, who I know visits here quite often, Mufti Hussein Kamani, who's visited in the past, Ustada Atifa, Sister Atifa, another one of our instructors and talented individuals at the at Qalam and specifically at the seminary, along with some other of our students and graduates who, mashallah, have some remarkable achievements in their lives. A whole diverse group of folks is here this weekend with you, inshallah, to have what we hope to be a very spiritually enlightening and enriching weekend, inshallah. The program, as Brother Yusufi will further inform you about, I won't get into specifics and details, logistical things I won't get into here because it's the khutbah, but inshallah we start this evening, we'll be here all day tomorrow. I request everyone to come, but I primarily am requesting everyone to come because we've brought some of the most fascinating and really remarkable individuals that we've been privileged to work with, who have done amazing things in their lives and continue to do really remarkable things. And we brought them here specifically because we know that there are similarly amazing people here in this community as well. So we please ask everyone to come and join us this weekend so that not only it's not just a one-way dynamic where come and listen to us, but we hope while you are able to get some benefit this weekend that we are also able to learn a lot about the beautiful and diverse ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we're all able to learn a lot more about each other and understand the relevance and the practicality of our deen and religion within our lives through the framework of studying the legacy of Ibrahim alaihi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice everything that was said and heard. Allahumma izz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma ahsin aqibatana fil umuri kulliha. Wa ajidna min khizi dunya wa azab al-akhirah. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibu wa tarda. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala nabiyy al-kareem. Qala Allah ta'ala, inna Allah ya'muru bil-adli wal-ihsani wa ita'i dil-qurba. Wa inha anil fahshai wal-munkari wal-baghi. Ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Udhkuru Allah yadhkurkum. Wadu'uhu yastajib lakum. Wala dhikru Allahi akbar. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Aqimis salah.